Security and Infrastructure Security Agency, who worked with election officials to provide support on a range of threats, from cyber and ransomware attacks to physical security of election workers, have been placed on leave. 10 of those employees are regional election security specialists. Others are current or former members of the agency's election security and resilience team, who were told that the review was looking into agency efforts to combat disinformation and misinformation campaigns. I'm Lisa Dwyer.
The FBI says it's discovered 2,400 records related to the assassination of President John F. Kennedy, as federal agencies work to comply with President Trump's executive order to release thousands of classified files. The majority of the collection has been released. Breaking news at townhall.com. A $4 billion settlement resulting from the catastrophic Maui wildfire remains on track after a Hawaii Supreme Court ruling.
The court says insurance companies cannot bring their own legal actions against those blamed for the deadliest wildfire in the U.S. in more than 100 years. Other steps still remain to finalize the deal between thousands of people who filed lawsuits and various defendants, including Hawaiian Electric Company. The massive inferno decimated the historic town of Lahaina, killing more than 100 people, destroying thousands of properties, and causing an estimated $5.5 billion in damage. Rich Thomason reporting.
Philadelphia officials expecting 1 million people in the city Friday for a parade honoring the Philadelphia Eagles after their big Super Bowl win. The team plans to descend the rocky steps of the Philadelphia Museum of Art at around 2 p.m. for a 75-minute ceremony. More on these stories at townhall.com.
From the WGCH Weather Center.
Cloudy for tonight, light snow developing overnight in the low 20s with the coating to less than an inch, then mostly cloudy for tomorrow. We'll be in the upper 30s, wind chills in the 20s early, then snow likely before 1 a.m. tomorrow night. Freezing rain and sleet will then take over until 4 a.m. with all freezing rain after in the upper 20s, new snow of an inch or two, then rain before 1 p.m. on Thursday. I'm meteorologist Chris Rosh on 1490 WGCH and WGCH.com anywhere.
Everything but politics. That's what my show is about. Hi, everybody. I'm Debbie Nigro. What am I about? I'm about resilience. I'm about attitude, a lot of heart, and definitely a sense of humor. And I've heard that people feel better after listening to my show. I always look for the light in the dark, and I give you hope everything's going to be okay in your day. Delusionally young, outrageously fun, I book dynamic, upbeat guests. Check it out. 11 a.m. Eastern Time here on AM 1490 WGCH and WGCH.com anywhere.
And a happy Tuesday to you, everyone, and welcome to Doubleheader on 1490 WGCH, WGCH.com. I'm Rob Adams, along with my man Max Pfeiffer, who's in studio today. Good to see him back here. And this, of course, is, you know, this little thing we call Doubleheader that we try to bring to you occasionally. This was one of those shows that I was like, I don't know, am I going to make it? Am I not going to make it? I made it. I made it in plenty of time, in fact. So I was sitting here in studio for a good hour plus, was able to sip a delightful cup of coffee. Heck, Bob Small wasn't even in the building. It was just me hanging out, so that was kind of fun. We were going to bring you basketball tonight, and once again, we've gotten kind of bamboozled by the weather. You may remember Saturday night, we were going to bring you girls hockey. That got moved to yesterday, so we didn't bring you the girls hockey game, and then we were going to do girls basketball tonight between Greenwich and Norwalk. That game got moved to last night at 7. We couldn't make it happen. So, you know, we have a couple of options in the bank for later in the season. Likely playoff games, because the season is very much winding down. So Greenwich played last night. They beat Norwalk. They have dropped to number 6 in the state because they lost to Ridgefield last Friday on a on a layup at the buzzer, the way I saw it anyway. I was not there. So we will see the girls again. And normally I'll give you this little hint, just a little idea. I have called a couple of FCAC championship games in my lifetime. Is it possible the FCAC championship game could wind up on WGCH if the girls and or boys both make it? The answer is yes. So keep that in mind as we move along. And if we can make it all happen, we are certainly going to try to. And again, if the girls basketball team or anyone else for that matter makes a deep championship run, oh yeah. Oh yeah. We're going to do our best to cover it right up through the title game. And I know we have the support of the CIAC, so it's all good. All right, Max, welcome. How are you? Been a while.
I'm doing great. I'm happy to be back on. I'm just glad to be here.
Well, great to have you. And look, I did a lot on the Super Bowl yesterday, but I want your thoughts. I mean, you know, I want to catch up with what you thought of Sunday's game. I mean, we all know it wasn't a particularly good game, but how do you view all of this? What are your thoughts today?
I think this year, I think the Chiefs having just the more inferior roster finally caught up to them. I mean, they clearly had a bunch of holes on the offensive line, and they got dominated both ways on the offensive and defensive lines. And I think, you know, Coach Andy Reid's strategy can only take you so far, and it did, winning them three Super Bowls. But I think the Eagles' strength and just strength in offense and defense, just having such a complete roster, was able to outduel the Chiefs and Mahomes.
I wondered if, and someone said this another show I was on last night, I kind of wondered if Andy Reid got outcoached a little bit. And I don't know that, I don't know if that's accurate. Did he get outcoached?
I mean, I can't say that just because of how much better the Eagles roster is than the Chiefs. I think Nick Sirianni is a good coach, and I don't think he has to do too much to put his team over the top considering how great that roster is. So I wouldn't necessarily say he got outcoached. I just think the Chiefs got beaten in all facets of the game.
Did you have a rooting interest in the game at all?
No.
No.
I don't really care.
Good for you. I have to admit, I did want the Eagles to win this one. Dynasties get boring. They're fun when you're rooting for one, I'll say that. But I don't know. There was something about the three-peat, and I don't want to reach the point that I don't like the Chiefs. The Patriots reached a point where they couldn't lose by enough for me, and I don't want to get there with the Chiefs.
Yeah, but I think the opportunity to see a three-peat, the opportunity that we had to see a three-peat, I think is something that's never been done in NFL history. I think that's pretty special, and if the Chiefs did end up winning, I think that would have been just pretty special to see. But, yeah, I didn't really have too much interest in who won.
I agree with that last part, though, about, I mean, greatness is awesome. Hate Brady if you want, you know, and believe me, Tom Brady drove me nuts. And in some ways, he was a rival to my team, the Steelers. But there's still something about watching greatness, whether it's him or some. I remember I was at the Garden one night a bunch of years ago, and this is the back end of Martin Brodeur's career. And it was just a preseason game, Rangers-Devils at the Garden. And I'm with someone, and she's like out of her mind that I'm going, wow, it's kind of cool to see Marty Brodeur play, you know, maybe the greatest goalie ever in that conversation. And she was outraged that I could ever consider such a thing. Greatness is fun to see.
Yeah, and just bring that point to today's game. I think, you know, as a Giants fan, obviously, I kind of hated seeing Saquon have the season he had. But,
yeah.
Like, another part of me just kind of appreciated how great he was and the historical season that he had for running back. And, you know, maybe made me feel a little bit better about David Gettleman's decision drafting him a while back, seeing that talent and seeing that potential he had in him. But, yeah, I was kind of felt weird about the season he had this year.
A lot of Giant fans are pretty annoyed at Michael Strahan, by the way. And I saw that happen live. That's the one point that I was kind of watching the pregame show. And there's Michael Strahan waving an Eagles flag on that boat in the Mississippi River. You're a Giants fan. How'd you feel?
I mean, I think he's so many years removed from playing, and he's working. He can't show any bias on TV, so I don't take too much from it. I don't expect him to go on TV and start gloating about the Giants. So I don't really take too much from it.
Yeah, I agree with you. When the Giants matter, he's certainly going to show that he is still a Giant at heart. The same with Bradshaw with the Steelers or Howie Long with the Raiders, whatever the case. But I think much ado about nothing. There are people who want to take his name down and, how dare he do this? Who cares? It was a bit for a TV segment.
Yeah, I think everyone just got to let that go.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, we get wound up about so many things, and you're the right age for me to ask this question. What about the halftime show? Any thoughts? Did you care?
I didn't think it was that great. I mean, I'm not like this huge Kendrick Lamar fan. I didn't think the entertainment part of it, aside from the music, I didn't think the entertainment part of it was that great compared to some of the shows in the past year. So I wasn't too big of a fan.
Yeah, I was just bored by it. You know, yeah. I made dinner and kind of popped back out and said, okay, went back, made dinner. Yeah, I know there's outrage and people have turned it politically and all that stuff. And, you know, those are roads I don't feel like going down. But I guess there was a significant message in the middle of it. And okay, sure. I mean, there's the whole Drake factor and, yeah, I know, all that stuff. Would he sing that song? Well, he did and looked right into the camera as he said Drake's name. Yikes. But... I was on a show last night with my friend Rick Solzer, a lot of people up in Dutchess County and Hudson Valley know the Zoles, and Zoles made it definitively clear, because we went through all the Super Bowl shows, he thought that was the worst Super Bowl halftime ever. I think that's strong personally, but okay.
Yeah, I would have to really look back and think on every show that I've ever seen, but I can't say it's the worst one I've ever seen yet, but I would say it's definitely up there for sure.
Yeah. How do you view the game? I'm a football fan, you're a football fan, we're sports fans, but how do you view the game? Do you view it as it's still a hardcore football day for you, or is it a lot of food and commercials and music and, oh, by the way, a football game?
I think just because, like, I'm a huge football fan, it's just a big football day for me. Obviously, the food and music stuff is great on the side, but I'm there to watch football.
Where do you watch it?
Usually just with friends at one of my friends' house or with some other family members.
Yeah. I was home. I was here in Greenwich. The weather kind of changed my plans, but I would have gone to my cousin and I tend to get together either at his place up north in New York, or he comes out here. Didn't work out the other night, but, you know, it's nice to get together with the right group and kind of enjoy the evening. And, yeah, the food is fun, but I'm still focused on the game when all is said and done.
Yeah, I actually didn't see the game with any friends this year, and I'm glad, because I didn't want to have to drive 10, 15 minutes on a school night and then for a game that was over by halftime to come back home for no reason. So I'm glad I stayed at home and watched the only quarter and a half that really mattered.
And you're becoming a good broadcaster in your own right. Were you paying attention to the broadcast, and what'd you think of any of it?
I mean, I was paying attention. I think Kevin Burkhardt was good, because I think he was still super enthusiastic when the game was out of reach already, which I think was good to keep the audience engaged. And for Tom Brady, I think he definitely did get better across the course of the year, and I think I think he was okay. I think he was solid for the Super Bowl. Nothing too crazy.
Fair enough. I had a little bit stronger thoughts about the two of them, and I know I was reading Christopher Mad Dog Russo's thoughts. He eviscerated the two of them yesterday, and Fox in general, for trying to sell us the bag of goods that this was still a game. And at halftime, it was not a game. It felt pretty over.
Yeah, but I think that's their job, to try to keep the audience engaged if it's out of reach. So I mean, I don't know what they're really supposed to do.
I think yes and no. I think I don't think you can flat out say to your audience it's over. Go grab some guacamole and call it a night. But I don't think you can't lie to your fan base either. I think you got to kind of say to them, "Wow, this is a steep mountain to climb." Just be honest with them without coming right out and saying it's over. And I think Burkhardt was still trying to sell it in the fourth quarter. It's like, Kev, this game is over. Let's stop.
Yeah, I think.
But I get what you're saying. You're right.
Yeah, I think definitely towards the end of it, I think Burkhardt started to realize that. I think he already knew it was over, but he started showing the audience how he felt it was over. And yeah, I think in the third quarter he might have been doing a little too much, but in the fourth quarter he definitely started to tone it down a little bit.
And as for Brady, we get it. You played. Some people think you're the greatest ever. I'm not one of them, but okay, you've played in all these Super Bowls. We get it. Analyze the game. Stop telling me about Tom Brady. Tell me about Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, he does talk about himself a lot, and I don't really pay too much attention to that. But I mean, that's just, this is first year doing this in such a big moment, so I'm cutting him a bit of slack.
Yeah, fair enough. Fair enough. All right, we have to get ready to take a break. And by the way, who knows if Brady comes back? He says he's coming back, but this Raiders ownership thing, keep an eye on that. And oh, by the way, the Jets are in a little bit of news today as well. So we'll get there. Lot to do. A lot of things we can bounce around. And we're in studio, so 203-661-5051. We're here. Have at it. We continue on a Tuesday right after this. 1490 WGCH, WGCH.com.
From the WGCH Weather Center.
Cloudy for tonight, light snow developing overnight in the low 20s with the coating to less than an inch, then mostly cloudy for tomorrow. We'll be in the upper 30s, wind chills in the 20s early, then snow likely before 1 a.m. tomorrow night. Freezing rain and sleet will then take over until 4 a.m. with all freezing rain after in the upper 20s, new snow of an inch or two. Then rain before 1 p.m. on Thursday. With a disturbance on the approach, follow us on social media at CT Weather for the latest local weather 24 hours a day. You can also go online to our website, www.ctweather.com. I'm meteorologist Chris Rush on 1490 WGCH and WGCH.com anywhere.
Progressive presents Renters MVP's Most Valuable Possessions. Today's MVP, Emily Neal's 70-inch TV. Because after watching her second-grade students yell at each other for hours, there's nothing Emily enjoys more than watching super-rich housewives also yell at each other. Why? Because those women are not her responsibility. And that's why her TV is today's MVP. Keep your most valuable possessions protected by bundling your renters and auto insurance with Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers not available in all states.
My doctor told me my blood pressure is borderline. I figured I could worry about it or do something about it. So I took control with Garlic Healthy Blood Pressure Formula. It works safely and naturally to help maintain healthy blood pressure with a custom blend of garlic, vitamins, and minerals. And it's odor-free. I'm taking charge with Garlic Healthy Blood Pressure Formula.
These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. The term natural references only the garlic in the product. Use as directed.
And oh yeah, the Jets find ways to make news, don't they? Aaron Rodgers, as of today, is still technically sort of, kind of, maybe a New York Jet. If he wants to be, maybe sort of. But on Sunday, it was breaking, he's all but gone. And word came out today that the new regime of the Jets, their new head coach, new general manager, kind of said, okay, Aaron, if you want to come back, one of the conditions is no more Pat McAfee. And you got to be at everything for training camp. None of this just walking in when you feel like it kind of stuff. You have to be committed. That's from Diana Rossini, who Aaron Rodgers apparently is not a big fan of. What do you think?
I like that the new regime is kind of just taking charge, and I think it's right for him to have to come in right when training camp starts and be present for all training camp. For the Pat McAfee part, I think that just makes no sense, and I don't think that has anything to really do with like the team in a way. I don't think that really matters.
There are players and, of course, coaches who have done radio interviews, and they're paid gigs, by the way. Don't think these folks are just jumping on out of the goodness of their own heart. They're making a deal here. Whether it was Joe Torre back with the Yankees or, you know, name a Mets manager, any one of them, because many of them did it, they were all doing, you know, a Mike and the Mad Dog interview or a Michael Kay interview with Aaron Boone, stuff like that. Eli, I think, had a segment with one of the radio shows, as I recall. And so this has been gone on for a while. With the Rodgers McAfee thing, though, it feels like more news gets made every time the two of them get together. And there's the problem. It's more of a circus with Rodgers, as opposed to just, here's a friendly conversation. Rodgers finds a way to make some kind of anti-vaxxing statement or some, you know, he is a lightning rod for news. That's where I get where the Jets are coming from on this. Overall, to me, it's kind of much ado about nothing.
Yeah, I think Aaron Rodgers is going to find a way to create headlines either way. But, I mean, I do see what they're saying with kind of creating a new storyline every time he's on that show. So it does make a little bit of sense. But at the same time, I still think it's a little too strict.
Yeah, maybe a little too much. So there's no definitive word that Rodgers is off the Jets yet. It seems like it's going that way. And now, where does he go? And I hate to say where supposedly he's going, because I've already seen a couple of mock-ups of him in Steelers uniforms. Not thrilled about that, I have to admit.
I mean, I think if he went to the Steelers, that would be the best quarterback they've had in...
Since
Big Ben, really. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I mean, I know all the stuff off the field wouldn't be great, but I think in terms of play on the field, that wouldn't be the worst thing for that to happen.
If you can tell me Rodgers is going to come in and throw for 4,000 yards and, 25, 30 touchdown passes, keep the intercept, the Rodgers-type numbers, I'm not expecting an MVP year. Give me something serviceable, although 4,000 is pretty good, admittedly. If you can give me that, I'm not as worried about the off-the-field stuff. I mean, Big Ben had his off-the-field stuff that was occasionally quite troubling and infuriating. But if Rodgers can come in, be a decent citizen, and play good football, I think anybody takes it. You want it.
Yeah, and I think a lot of big-time athletes have their own kind of off-field stuff no matter what, or at least a good amount of them. So, I mean, like you said, I think if Rodgers can come in and produce, kind of have similar numbers to what he did on the Jets this past year, I think that would be, like I said, I think that would be the best they've had since Big Ben.
Yeah, and Big Ben, create a very high level, and you're only, I think I heard, 2 years away from Big Ben getting the Hall of Fame call, and he'll go, by the way. Let us not have the Eli conversation there. Did you think Eli got a raw deal?
I mean, I think, because of his lack of regular season success compared to the other possible guys, I wasn't really expecting him to get in his first year, so not really, honestly.
Yeah, I'm not bothered by it, to be honest with you. I think next year he likely makes it, and I think in the long run, I think all three of those 0-4 quarterbacks get in, because I think Rivers was outstanding as well. The only thing Rivers doesn't have is the rings.
Yeah, Eli was definitely much, much better than him in the playoffs and the postseason, so I think like you said, next year both they should get in, so I don't think it should be too much of a problem.
Yeah, in the long run, all three, I think, are going to go without a problem. And I said this on yesterday's show, I think the Pro Football Hall of Fame has a little bit of a problem. This is it's a good class, underwhelming class, and that's a little bit of a problem. You want some star power there. Eli gives you that. Back to the Super Bowl, how bad of a hit did Patrick Mahomes' legacy take in your mind?
I mean, I think not. I think it took a decent hit, but I think he still has the clear path to becoming either the greatest or one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. I mean, he already has three rings.
Yeah, I think he's already there.
He still has a long time. Yeah, he still has a long time to go in his career. He needs four more to even up with Brady. So I think he still has plenty of time to get the same amount of rings Brady has. So I don't think by any means he should be out of the GOAT conversation for good.
Yeah, I think his legacy took, honestly, the same kind of hit that Brady took, because Brady didn't win every ring, and there are some pretty bad losses in there, three of them, as a matter of fact. So, yeah, I think, if we turn to 26 and a year from now, you're in college and you shoot me a text and say, "Hey, Rob, Mahomes is back in the Super Bowl." That's kind of not quite GOAT, but that's your legacy still pretty good.
Yeah, and I have a feeling he's going to be back in many, many more Super Bowls. I think obviously there's still the standard in the AFC and in the NFL, really, but I think he'll have plenty more opportunities to catch up to Brady.
That's an interesting thought. If you had a crystal ball, what do you think it would say about where we are in 26? Do you think the Chiefs are right back? Will the Bills finally get over the hump? Is there someone else in the AFC? I realize it's a long way out, but I figure, what the heck? Let's have a little fun.
I really do think the Chiefs can make it back. I think if they upgrade their offensive line and, you know, get Rashee Rice was their number one receiver in the beginning of the year, and he was looking phenomenal until he got hurt. They're going to get him back. And, I mean, we'll see what they do with DeAndre Hopkins, but keeping Marquise Brown, getting Xavier Worthy for another year now, I think the receiving core is one of the best they've had in Patrick Mahomes' time on the Chiefs. And just keep improving that defense and that offensive line. I don't think they should have too much of an issue getting right back there.
If Myles Garrett winds up on the Bills, not saying he's going to, but just for the fun of it, is that a game changer?
I mean, it remains to be seen, because I don't know what the Chiefs would do with their offensive line. I think their offensive line is really dependent on really everything. I mean, Myles Garrett would obviously help, but I think at the end of the day, between the Chiefs and the Bills, it ends up coming, and it comes down to who's the better quarterback that night. And I think it's been Mahomes most of the time.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if Myles Garrett goes to the Bills, it might change the result. But for now, I'd still definitely say Mahomes.
And you still have the Ravens in the mix, and the Chargers look like they're coming on, and there looks like there are teams in the AFC, but I think right now it's still Chiefs Kingdom and maybe the Bills.
Yeah, and you have the Bengals in there also, so there's a lot of, and the Texans,
right.
So there's a lot of teams there.
Bengals have a lot of questions,
yeah.
All right, 4:30, we can go anywhere. We've got NBA, we've got college basketball, we've got hockey, we've got, oh wait, there's another sport. We've got a little bit of that too. Baseball, I think it's called. 4:30, we continue after this. 1490 WGCH, WGCH.com.
From the WGCH Weather Center.
Cloudy for tonight, light snow developing overnight in the low 20s with the coating to less than an inch, then mostly cloudy for tomorrow. We'll be in the upper 30s, wind chills in the 20s early, then snow likely before 1 a.m. tomorrow night. Freezing rain and sleet will then take over until 4 a.m. with all freezing rain after in the upper 20s, new snow of an inch or two, then rain before 1 p.m. on Thursday. I'm meteorologist Chris Rosh on 1490 WGCH and WGCH.com anywhere.
I'm going to let you in on a little wireless hack that can cut your cell phone bill in half. Verizon, AT&T, and T-Mobile have convinced you need unlimited data. Fact is, most people don't. Pure Talk only charges $25 a month for unlimited talk, text, and 5 gigs of data plus hotspot. Stop overpaying for wireless. Dial pound 250 and say spend less, and you'll save an additional 50% off your first month with Pure Talk.
You know, a lot of times you have to choose between something high quality or something that saves you money, but if you can get both, why not? Especially when it comes to healthcare, and that's MediShare. You get both. The typical family saves $500 a month, and they love it. The customer satisfaction rate for MediShare is double that of the typical health insurance plan. Double. So, yeah, really, you can save a ton and like it better. Call now. You can get a price within 2 minutes. Call 833-34-BIBLE. That's 833-34-BIBLE.
This is Travis Milliman of Greenwich Library. Do you have questions about how AI might impact the job market? Join us at the Byram Schubert Branch on Wednesday, February 19th from either 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. or 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. for a special career coach session entitled AI in Action, Job Seeking Strategies for the Digital Age. This workshop will introduce you to the basics of AI and demonstrate how it can empower your job search efforts. Once again, this iteration of the career coach will be at the Byram Schubert Branch of the library, and registration is required. Please visit www.greenwichlibrary.org for more information or call 203-622-7900 to talk to one of our librarians. We hope to see you soon at the library. This is Travis Milliman from Greenwich Library on 1490 WGCH and WGCH.com anywhere.
Back with you on Doubleheader at 4:33. Robin Max with you, 203-661-5051. Again, no Greenwich girls basketball game tonight. Because of the weather, although the weather's not supposed to start until after 9 o'clock, chance of some snow, little bit of a glaze of ice potentially, some freezing rain, all that stuff. So keep that in mind. But most of it sounds like it's going to be toward the overnight hours. ADs and schools err on the side of caution, so I'm not here to knock anyone. A lot of other schools are going to go ahead and play, at least from what I saw on the CIAC. I know I spied Darien and Ludlow have a 7 o'clock boys basketball game. Ward and Stamford are playing. West Hill and Bridgeport Central. So there are teams playing tonight, but Greenwich not one of them. So no Greenwich and Norwalk. They all played last night, and that's the way that goes. So we continue on with a few more NFL quickies before we move on. Kellen Moore, now the Saints head coach, that seemed to be a done deal, really, during the Super Bowl. It seemed like he had nowhere to go come Sunday night. He might as well just stay there and start making his office.
Yeah, it was reported he was going to take that job before the Super Bowl, so I'm not surprised by that at all.
Yeah, no surprise there, I agree. The ratings were off the charts, largest TV audience ever, or I think 126 million people watched, which is pretty amazing considering it's a 40-22 football game that essentially, as we said, was kind of over at halftime.
Yeah, I think, I mean, as bad as it sounds, I think a lot of those are because of the Chiefs and because of the Taylor Swift fans that are tuning in for that reason. But that was pretty shocking seeing, considering how bad that game was.
I was surprised Fox didn't show her a few more times just to get a sense of what her mood was like as the game went along. I think that's, you know, even I can understand that's human nature. You want to see the reaction. But she was only shown, people keep track of these things, which amazes me, only shown once for 7 seconds. That's it.
Yeah, I thought they would show her more, too. I feel like they have shown her more in just regular season games. So, yeah, that was a little bit surprising to me.
I agree with you. Pretty quick and pretty done, and didn't really see her much post-game and anything. So there was, you know, no engagement ring, none of that stuff. They, quickly moved on. So I suppose that's a good thing. And I think with that, for now, we put the NFL to bed. Although, you know, before you know it, it's April, and we're talking about the draft. I mean, there will be things over the next few weeks, players that are moving on or, you know, anything like that, maybe retirements and whatnot. Philly will have their big party on Friday. They expect 1 million people. They're going to be on the Rocky Steps, all of that. So to the victors go the spoils. And again, as I said yesterday, I don't want to just crush Philadelphia fans because a bunch of knuckleheads acted like knuckleheads. I don't want to do that to any city. I know Detroit's had problems, Boston's had problems, Philly's had problems, New York, for some reason, we don't riot. I don't know why. I'm glad we don't, but we don't.
I don't know if that's because New York hasn't really won anything in the recent past or for another reason, but yeah, I feel like our fans are pretty civil for the most part, unless it's an altercation with another Philly fan or Boston fan or anything like that.
Rangers win the Stanley Cup first time in 54 years. Nothing. Knicks. Now, the Knicks, that could be interesting. If they finally win one after 50, now 53 almost, that would be interesting. I have to admit that. Yankees, when they went through their drought, which was brief by comparison, but was a lifetime to me, it was just euphoria each time. So there was none of that. Giants, same thing. Jets and Mets, I'd be a little worried, but you never know. So, and that being said, at least in Tampa, pitchers and catchers reported today. And with that, away we go on baseball.
Yeah, I'm glad to just turn the page on football season like every other year for the past few years now as a Giants fan. You know, at the end of the year, there's not much to root for your team. So, I'm glad to just turn the page to baseball for now.
You're a Mets fan. When it comes right down to it, how would you grade the offseason?
I think the signing of Pete Alonso really increased how good their offseason was. I think I would give it maybe a B+, maybe, just because they didn't really address the starting pitchers as much as I would have liked them to do. I still think there's a lot of question marks there and what ifs and hopefuls, but in terms of the lineup and the bullpen, I think they did a really good job.
They did do a really good job. I agree that I still have questions about that pitching. I mean, you're getting Holmes from the Yankees to be a starter. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. There's a lot of question marks, like I said, in experiments. I don't know how it's going to go.
What would a good season be for him in your mind?
I mean, as a back end of the rotation guy in his first year as a starter, I think, maybe a high threes ERA. I think that would be pretty solid, and an above 500 record with that lineup we have. So I think that would be a pretty good year for him.
So if I get you 8-5 with a 3.81, you'd be happy with that.
Yeah, I think I would be happy with that.
I think that would be actually really good if that happened. I agree with you. Pete had to come back, in my opinion. Had to. I know there were talks that he might go to Toronto and elsewhere. I think he had to come back here. And look, we can go through this all over again next year. At the end of this season. But I think it's the right move. I think it gives their lineup that much more clout. Soto's great. He does need a bopper around him, though, and that's a very good thing to have in a Pete Alonso.
Yeah, he filled a huge hole at first. I mean, I didn't want to see Brett Beatty playing every day at third base and obviously a big bat that we need right in the middle of that lineup. So I think for both sides, yeah, like you said, I think it was perfect for both sides.
And Vientos doesn't have to be a first baseman. He can just play his spot. And now you got – those are three good bats right there in that lineup.
Yeah, and it's a lot of depth. I mean, having Francisco Alvarez in the 8 or 9 hole, who at one point was the number one prospect in baseball, I think the lineup's super well rounded, so I'm expecting a big year.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Where do the Mets fit in right now? Where do they fit in the division?
You know, it's tough because the Braves last year obviously had a ton of injuries, so we don't really know what to expect from them, but I don't think Ronald Acuña is going to be ready for the start of the year, so I would be fine with first or second. I would expect maybe second. I think, you know, the Braves or Phillies, either one of them could have a great year. The Phillies could also drop down to 3 after the disappointing playoffs they had last year, so I don't know. I think 1 or 2 would be where I expect them to finish.
I wonder about the Phillies' window. Has it closed a bit after last year? It felt like they were in a strong place last year. And I don't know how good the Braves are either. I mean, they've lost pieces. You mentioned Acuña. There are some pieces missing there. You kind of wonder if it's a 3-horse race all season between them.
Yeah, I mean, the Phillies kept almost everyone, most people from their roster last year and the roster the year before when they went on that big playoff run. So I think their window's still open. Still have a whole trade deadline to make moves if that's what they need to do. And I think the Braves, I think it is a huge question mark. They're going to get Spencer Strider back, who was great when he was healthy. So, I mean, they obviously lost Max Fried, but I mean, they have Spencer Schwellenbach, who was great last year, and a couple of other guys in that rotation. So I think they're going to be good. I mean, we'll have to see how they start the season, though.
Yeah, got a long way to go. You can't predict injuries. You can't predict any of that stuff. So who knows what spring training is like. And again, Alex Bregman still doesn't have a job, so that's still to be considered in all of this. There are still, a lot of things to think about and a long way to go. You think about it. This is, February 11th. We are a solid 9 months to resolving anything in the 2025 baseball season. It's a long road.
Yeah, definitely.
On the other side, there's this other team who, last I checked, is still the defending American League champion. I feel pretty good about their offseason, I have to admit. Thought they made good decisions. I don't love the way Hal Steinbrenner is acting in terms of spending as opposed to Uncle Moneybags over in Queens, who's just willing to be like, you get a check. Hal's not his father. He just is not his father. And yet, I'm fine with what they did for the most part. I don't like the resolution of third and second base. That troubles me.
I agree with that, but I think for the most part, they did execute Plan B pretty well. I think... I do think for the short term they'll actually be they might actually be a little bit better just because of the depth they have now. But I mean, for the long term, losing a young superstar that's just in the beginning stages of his prime like that isn't going to benefit them. But I think, you know, I think they're still the clear cut favorites in the American League. I mean, I don't know who you can put over them. I don't think the Guardians are really close, if that's who you want to say is the second best team, or the Orioles or whoever. But yeah, I still think they're the favorites out of the American League.
I don't know what the heck the Orioles did, because they didn't do much of anything, as a matter of fact. It feels like the American League East is the Yankees clearly to go win. I think the Red Sox are a lot better than they were last year, which means, you know, you heat the rivalry back up. Okay, that's good. I think the Blue Jays taking some good steps. I think there are four very good teams in the American League. I think the Yankees outshine them all, and Tampa Bay, for once, might be the worst team in that division, which is shocking.
Yeah, I think the Yankees are the clear-cut favorites. I think Tampa Bay, just of a roster standpoint, I think they are the worst. And, I mean, the Red Sox are going to be interesting. They acquired Gerrit Corsi this offseason. They've made other improvements around the edges of their roster. So I think if I had to choose, I think they would be the second-best team in the American League East right now. But, I mean, it'll be interesting to see where the Orioles place because of the lack of moves they made this offseason, so I don't know. It's going to be interesting.
Yeah, very, very interesting season coming up for sure. When it comes to the Yankees, I hope Max Fried is the big answer, but I do worry about the injuries there.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm worried with the injuries and an 8-year contract for someone that has battled injuries previously in his career is a little worrisome. I don't know. I mean, at the end of that contract, I don't know how much he'll be able to pitch with the injuries he's suffered. But yeah, I think they addressed their needs for the most part. So I think it was a job well done for them.
Can anyone catch the Dodgers?
In the regular season, I would say no. But, I mean, we've seen it in the playoffs many times where the best team goes down. I mean, we saw it happen a couple years ago where they lost to the Padres in the NLDS, I think it was. So, I mean, yeah, I'm not... They're definitely the favorites, obviously. I think they'll finish the regular season with the best record, but for the playoffs, I mean, I'm not promising anything for where they'll end up.
The Padres, again, were a win away last year.
Yeah.
A win away.
Up 2-1, yeah.
Yeah. You got to finish the job there, and they did not. And that's been an issue for the Padres, getting to that next level and taking that big step. So something to keep an eye on there. And Yankees-Dodgers is too easy for me to sit here in February and say it's going to happen again. And again, it's a long ways away. We're literally just having fun with this. But it feels like that's the way things are heading right now. But I think there are a lot of other teams that can make their stand.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think, I mean, you still have the whole year and the whole trade deadline, so we'll see how it shakes out. But I think as of now, I think both teams are the clear-cut favorites in their respective leagues, so I would, if I had to make a prediction now, I would say it would be the Yankees and Dodgers for another World Series matchup.
And I saw that Aaron Boone, who, again, is a Greenwich guy, let's just throw that in, he was asked about some of the Red Sox, Dodgers chirping after the World Series. Did it bother him? And he admitted, yeah, it sort of did. And that's okay. But he did add, to the victor goes the spoils. You've won. You've got the right to do that chirping. Now it's our job to go take the trophy from you. And I'm okay with that answer. I like that.
Yeah, and I think it's a good thing to care about how the other team acts towards you and care about the result of what happened that previous year. So I think what he said is fine, and I expect them to try and go back out and give it their best shot.
Going to need Judge to be Judge again, and you know, the pieces have got to be there. You know, players got to play to the back of their cards, as the saying goes.
Yeah, we'll see how if Judge is able to step it up in the playoffs this time. I don't know if that's just how he's going to be for the rest of his career or not, but we'll have to see.
Yeah, hope that does not linger with him. One other kind of side baseball note, I saw that court proceedings went in favor of A-Rod, that he might now become owner of the Timberwolves when all is said and done. So that's, you know, something worth keeping an eye on. I did watch a full NBA game the other day. I don't get to do this a lot, but I did get to watch Hubie Brown's last game on Sunday. And, you know, two teams that are kind of Bucks and Sixers who are kind of just
they're just there. I feel like the Sixers are just waiting for their entire team to get healthy. But even in the games they've all been healthy, they haven't been that great. I mean, I think that's just a lack of chemistry and a lack of getting to play together. But I mean, at this point, I mean, we already saw them trade one of their key pieces away. So I think at this point, they might have to just chalk up the season and look to next year.
And to the Bucks, without Giannis, you're not the same. You're just not the same.
Yeah, I don't think Damian Lillard at this point in his career can be a clear cut number one option. No. So yeah, obviously with Giannis, they're a whole different team. But that's a story for every team without their superstar. So you can't make too much of that.
And the Lakers seem to be making it clear that Luka is their face now, more than LeBron, and I thought that was an interesting thing to read.
I mean, yeah, obviously that the trade they made that trade for the future and for the years after LeBron, which I think was a smart move because it gives them the ability to still win now and obviously prepare themselves to win later on. So I think it was a good move from them.
Mavericks threw a fan out of their building last night who was complaining about the people who made that trade, and I guess I can kind of understand that. I'd be pretty mad too.
Yeah, I would definitely be angry. I think it's super rare to find a 25-year-old superstar already that's in the beginning stages of his prime and has had already a historical start to his career. And I think there's so few of those in the league, and I think to just give one up for not a great return is very disappointing.
Let's go over to college basketball, and I have to admit, and boy, people got it. Fans were chanting from St. John's that they wanted UConn. In comes UConn, gets, I think, a 13 or 15-point lead, and I saw people tweeting about it. Oh, you asked for it. Here they are. And then St. John's steamrolled the rest of that game. What do you think of the Johnnies?
I mean, it's interesting because they're just a terrible, terrible shooting team, and they still find ways to win. I mean, it's really incredible the numbers they've shot this year and still managed to win games and become the ninth-ranked team in the country. So
number nine.
I don't know how long they can keep winning while shooting that poorly, but it's pretty incredible to see.
It's been fun to watch, and love him or hate him, you can't take away from Patino. The guy gets results, just does.
Yeah, he's
tough to root for, I admit.
Yeah,
but he gets results.
Yeah, it was badly needed for St. John's program. I mean, they haven't won for a while before he came in, so yeah, it's good to see from because there's not really any great New York college basketball teams, so it's good to see.
Yeah, it's actually great to see St. John's being relevant and being a big story. It gives New York a little something extra around this region because we're not a great college area. I've said it 100,000 times. Yes, we have UConn. Yes, we have, you know, St. John's and Seton Hall, who once played in a national championship game, which is now a lifetime ago. But St. John's being great, it brings the Garden to life. It just gives a whole different energy to New York. And so it's fun because it's 40 years since Chris Mullin, by the way. 1985, Mullen and Patrick Ewing at the Garden. So, yeah, long time.
Yeah, it's good times for basketball in New York City right now.
Yes, it is. And what else is jumping out at you in college basketball?
I mean, I think just past this weekend, the number one and number two teams lost. So I think, I mean, originally I thought Auburn was the clear-cut number one team, but now I'm kind of questioning that because they just lost to Florida. So I still think they are the best team in the country, but I mean, there's a long way to go. But this is really where this time of year is really where you start finding out about who teams are and what they can really accomplish later on in the season.
And speaking of basketball, quick comings and goings. Hubie Brown, of course, stepping down on Sunday. That's why I watched that Sixers Bucks game. But Dick Vitale back, and love him or hate him, he is a nice, decent man who is great for the sport of basketball. You can't take away from his passion, and his health it's great to see him back.
Yeah, definitely great to see him back. I mean, what he's had to overcome at a really old age is very impressive to be able to come back and call games. It's super great to see.
Yep, it dare I say it's awesome, baby. So we will get ready and take our last break here. And then we will come back and wrap this one up. We'll see where the last couple of minutes take us. Will we go to hockey? Who knows? We'll figure it out. We'll come back. More to do. Doubleheader, 1490 WGCH, WGCH.com.
from the WGCH Weather Center.
Cloudy for tonight. Light snow developing overnight in the low 20s with the coating to less than an inch, then mostly cloudy for tomorrow. We'll be in the upper 30s, wind chills in the 20s early, then snow likely before 1 a.m. tomorrow night. Freezing rain and sleet will then take over until 4 a.m. with all freezing rain after in the upper 20s, new snow of an inch or two, then rain before 1 p.m. on Thursday. With a disturbance on the approach, follow us on social media at CT Weather for the latest local weather 24 hours a day. You can also go online to our website, www.ctweather.com. I'm meteorologist Chris Rosh on 1490 WGCH and WGCH.com anywhere.
A new president is sworn in. America's greatness is being restored. And there's breaking news every minute. Now, tens of millions of Americans are turning off Fox and CNN and tuning in to Newsmax for the breaking information they really need to know. Reuters Institute says Newsmax is one of the top news brands in America. Find it yourself on all major cable systems and on your TV or smartphone store. Just download the Newsmax app for free and start watching. You'll get great shows with Rob Schmidt, Greta Van Susteren, Rob Finnerty and Carl Higbee, and more. Find out why millions of Americans have made the switch. Even President Trump says Newsmax is terrific, and he's watching. So make the switch to Newsmax. Check us out on cable and satellite TV or download the Newsmax app today. Watch us anytime, anywhere. Remember, Newsmax is real news for real people.
Last couple of minutes together as we switch over to the National Hockey League. And I mean, let's start on the local front. The Rangers have been, safe to say, I think disappointment is the right word to use. They are, let's see, in the Eastern Conference, they are down the ladder. They're at 58 points. Washington has 80. So that just gives you an idea right there. The Devils are far better at 68. The Islanders are right there with the Rangers at 57. But the Rangers, when the season began, you legitimately thought they could make a run to the Cup Final. And right now, you're struggling to even think, can they make the playoffs?
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, I mean, I completely agree with you. I think it's been such an up-and-down year for them. They started off the season so great, and then they plummeted and had a terrible, terrible stretch. And then they had another nice stretch for about 10 games, and now they're back on the decline. So I think they're just riding the wave right now, and I'm honestly just not too hopeful about them.
No, and it's a roller coaster right now. You see good nights with them, and then you see just absolutely horrible nights. So I struggle to see where the Rangers are gonna give us much to cheer about. I think it's more of a Knicks spring than it will be a Rangers spring, and that's too bad.
Yeah, 100%. I think, I mean, everyone on the team, but I think also you see it with Igor Shesterkin. I mean, he's having these great games, and then he's having these poor games where he's allowing a lot of goals on not too many shots on goal. So I think I think that just comes with winning and losing. I think his performance comes with winning and losing and how his teammates perform. But yeah, definitely disappointing.
And the Bruins are only moderately better. They have 60 points. So got to shout out our guy Jake Zimmer, who's the PA announcer up there. But yeah, they're not a whole lot better. It feels like it's kind of Washington. Florida's back in it. You know, it's kind of that way. And I realize you get to the playoffs, that all changes. In the interim, now you've got the Four Nations tournament coming up. Canada, Finland, Sweden, and the U.S. And teams have been assembled. Tournament beginning this week. It's going to be a good time.
Yeah, I think it's definitely an interesting sprinkle that they've added. I think it's interesting. I think, you know, it adds, in the middle of the season where things might start to be getting a little bit boring, it adds a little bit of excitement with a, you know, international kind of format. So I'm excited to see that.
Yeah, I am too. Let's see. Tomorrow you got Canada and Sweden tomorrow night on, let's see, that's on TNT and the whole Turner Group, Max and all that stuff. That's in Montreal at the Bell Center. Thursday, the U.S. plays their first game against Finland. And then Saturday, there's a couple, well, there's a fan festival and a couple of games as well. That all in Montreal. Then finally, it's in Boston where it gets started on Saturday, and it's just a watch party there at the TD Garden. They'll watch Finland and Sweden, but it should be. It kind of gives an Olympic edge, kind of feels like that. There's a little bit of a summit series, you know, that kind of thing to an older generation of fans. And I think that kind of national tournament, people get really fired up for that stuff.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think just having this kind of format in the middle of the season where things might kind of start to get dry, I think that would make things a lot more interesting, and I'm definitely interested to see how that kind of plays out.
Do you worry about injuries or anything? Have to be mindful.
Yeah, obviously you have to be mindful of them because they're all going to be. It's not like the All Star game where they're not going to be trying that much. So I'm definitely mindful of them and maybe a little worried.
Yeah, fair enough. I mean, kind of World Baseball Classic type of thing.
Yeah, a little bit.
Kind of along those lines. Anyway, that'll be fun to watch and good stuff today. Good show.
Yeah, I'm glad to be back on.
Thanks for joining us. Let's see. I'm pretty sure I'm at Brunswick tomorrow, so you might be hearing these words all over again, which gives Max even more exposure. He deserves it. And Thursday, maybe. Friday, possible. And, you know, check your local listings. We'll keep you right there. We'll get back with Greenwich Sports, though. We will have a Greenwich game coming up, I believe, on Friday, boys basketball against West Hill. But in any event, that'll do it for Doubleheader. For Max, I'm Rob. Have yourselves a good night. Laura Smith is up next. We will talk to you next time. Adios.
This is your community radio station, serving Lower Fairfield County and Westchester. 1490 WGCH in Greenwich.